All right. Good evening. Amen. You may be seated. Let's get right started. Okay. We're continued teaching. Hoping everybody done well on the exams. Awesome. Dealing with the mindset, this is such a strong teaching and necessary for the body of Christ. To deal with the mindset, because all our challenges in the battlefield of the mind is where saved people have struggled to get to a place called breakthrough, or beyond breakthrough, as our apostle taught us, beyond breakthrough. And we struggle in areas that seem to be, from the spiritual point of view, it's so simple and so easy, but when it comes down to living it and doing it and experiencing it, we struggle in it because of mindsets. So our apostle alluded to Romans 12, 1 and verse 2 earlier by presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to the Lord, which is our reasonable service, proving what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, and be ye transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so important that when we understand our culture, the culture that are called the kingdom culture that you and I have been birthed in through the new birth experience, is having the mind of Christ, letting this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And so transforming from the culture of the flesh or the carnal to the culture of the spirit realm, it's understanding a different depth of thinking, a different a modem of operation, and how we should think. And this is what Christ is trying to get us to understand, is how to think like him. Not living life as it is, but living life as it's meant to be. And so it becomes a different depth of understanding that my present situation isn't really the God perfect will for my life. And how do I transform it from the mundane lifestyle or the limited lifestyle, or what Apostle mentioned tonight, the normal lifestyle, into the supernatural lifestyle? Jesus always saw the kingdom aspect. When he saw blind eyes, he saw people seeing. When he saw dead people, he saw people living. When he saw people hungry, he saw people full, eating more than enough. You see, his aspect of seeing, what does the kingdom see? What is the will of God, the will of the kingdom? So it deals with the mindset. It deals with our mindset. We're saved, we love God, we're born again, but we still deal with negative mindsets because we've had earthly encounters, earthly experience from the culture that we was birthed in and was raised in. And so that transformation has to take place. So when we deal with... on page 132, really on page 133 at the very top, we're dealing with the mindset of the different classes, how the different classes think. The poor, the middle class, and the wealthy, how they think. We have to come to revelation, understand that we're living and experiencing a poor or middle class lifestyle now, but God wants to think wealthy. And it's a concept of thinking and empowering yourself with a wealth mindset while you are where you are, that's going to cause the magnetism of the gravity of pulling you into a wealthy lifestyle. God says you have to think it first. You have to see it first. You have to believe it first, that it does exist and that it belongs to you. And once you have the foundation of the mindset in the heart of being transformed, it translates you into that, to the wealthy lifestyle and living in a wealthy place. That's how we get there. And so it begins with the thinking. If a man can change his thinking, he can change his world. The Bible says a man thinketh, so is he. And so those concepts are principles that changes our mindset. You got to change your mindset. So as we pick up on page 133, the class of thinking, we're thinking from the poverty mindset, now in the middle class mindset. Now on page 133, we're in the wealthy mindset. In the wealthy mindset. So this class view shows us commonly in how believers select a church. Not only food, we talked about food, we talked about money. He said, but even the wealthy mindset, this is how they choose their churches. What ministry they're going to go to. Okay. It says the middle class knows that they have options. So mama's church and grandma's church is no longer the primitive.
Right.
Because I have options.
Right. Yeah.
I have options. Because why? The way I think is transforming me where I want to serve, or how I want my pastor to present the word to me, or my surroundings to be for me. Okay, so I'm not selling just for stained glass doors and dingy carpet or just benches, you know, or wood benches any longer. You know, the mindset is shifting, you know. And so we ain't thinking about they got a graveyard at the church. You know, so I know I'm going to be buried or die. That's paid for already. They're not thinking like that no more. Why? Because my transformative thinking and my wealth gives me options. So understand that about wealth. Wealth gives you options. It gives you options. Okay? So number one, let me give you one. The middle class knows that they have options. Okay, wealth gives you options. So make sure you know that, number one. They can attend any church in town. So the quality of the experience has better be there or they won't be. The quality of the experience has to be there or they won't be there. That's why Apostle always come prepared for service. He's always looking for that next level of experience, encounter with God, that the people are fed genuinely the truth of the word in experience and demonstration of the power, because it has to be a quality, not just an entertainment, not just something emotional. It has to be a quality encounter that causes you to invest in that church or keep coming to Word of Life. It has to be quality. See, so do they have a quality children program at the church? Well, I missed something. It says, how was the teaching? How is the nursery? Do they have a quality children program at this church? How difficult is it to park at this church? Were they friendly and helpful when we arrived? Do they realize that we can choose any church in town and that it is their job to keep our money and us around this place? Do they know that we know people in this town? They do know we can go somewhere else, right? See, they have options because of the transforming of the mindset, which is what gives you options. When your mindset transformed, you don't no longer go to a restaurant where the floor is not swept. Okay, and where they sit down and they still got biscuits under the rolls up under the chair. And they expect you to go sit down at the chair. It's not even, the table's not clean, you know, and the seats got crumbs on it. So, but you got to realize when I have options, I don't have to come here. I don't come there. But the idea is, if I'm living with a poverty mindset, then I choose quantity over quality. So, because they're going to feed me a lot of money, so I'm going to submit myself to a dirty table, a dirty environment. You see? No, that's why Jesus always rode the best, ate the best, lived in the best. Because of he came from a kingdom experience.
Right. That's right.
The Bible says he became poor so we could become rich. So his surrounding always was wealthy.
Right.
Okay? It was always the best of everything. So when he got to earth, he also had the same kind of mindset. He had the best of everything. You know, Dr. Leroy Thompson was sharing with it the very first time. As soon as he shows up, kings come to his birth and present him royalty, because he is royalty. You see, and so therefore, when your mindset shifts, you no longer think as a peasant. You think from the realm of royalty, because I'm chosen by God, a chosen people, a chosen priesthood, you know, a chosen people. We are royalty. And so we have to think from the realm of royalty, even though you may be at a different level now financially, but in my spirit, in my mindset, I live over here. So I live over here, so I act like I'm over here. I treat myself like I'm over here. Why? I'm exercising, so once I get there, I already know how to act. They ain't got to put me out the room. I know how to act in here. Okay? And so that becomes a transition of why we need to train our minds to live in a wealthy place, because kingdom is dominion. It means to rule in the midst of your enemy. And you can't rule with a peasant mindset, because you're always going to compromise with life. You're uncompromised with life. And so once you got it, you ain't got to compromise with people. No, it is what it is. And I'm not going to take second best when I know I can have first class. You got to train your mind to think that way. Or your pocket will keep you in coach. Okay? So here we go. Watch this. The wealthy are sometimes strange birds for most of us. They can have as much of the highest quality food they could ever want. Therefore, they see food as a work of art, something that should have presentation. Something that should have presentation. You see? And so you have to start making a demand on life where you are now, whether you're eating at IHOP or you're eating at some Chili's. I'm just naming some places that we probably go and eat that really not costly. You know the idea. Even if you go there, you should demand that your food is presented to you correctly. It should be presented to you correctly. You know why? Because I think from a royal perspective. I treat myself from a royal perspective, and so therefore I'm going to expect people to see me as I see myself. And you shouldn't take no exception from it. You should make a demand on it. And when people know the quality of how you see yourself, they start changing when you walk in the room. They shifted the room. One of the things, I've just been with Apostle, and I watched how he operate and how he, from his level, you know, ideas, go to the restaurant, you know, and if the tables are dirty, if there's someone on the table, we do not sit down. We're going to wait for that waiter to come and clean the table. There's something underneath to be swept, you know, and we stand until they fix it. If you don't fix it, I go somewhere else. Why? Because you got to see me the way I see me. And that becomes transforming your mindset. Right. When people see that you have respect and royalty of yourself, they treat you at the same level. Right. They treat you the same level. Right. But you got to train your mind. Right. You got to train your mind. On every aspect, you got to train your mind to think in this realm, operate in this realm. And before you know it, the gravity and the magnitude of that thinking will take you to the next dimension. It's called, you hear apostles speak some things called the law of attraction. The law of attraction. The law of attraction is what you meditate on, you become. What you meditate on, you become. Okay? And so that's vital in changing our thought system. Watch this. Watch this. He says this. This is number two. He says, if it doesn't impress me in the way that it is presented, then I am not sure I am in the right place. Eloquence, style, and beauty are what make an establishment worth patronizing. So when it comes time to eat, make it do something for me. Make it pop. Number two is make it pop. You want your life to pop. Everything you put your hands on, you want it to pop. From your dress style to the car you're riding in, you want that car to pop. You want to make sure those tires are shining, it is sparkling, it stayed clean. You're making it pop. You're not worshiping the car. It's the idea your mindset is dressing you. It's dressing you in a concept that calls people to see you in a different light and treat you in a different light. People begin to realize you have value of yourself. Because you make life pop. You know, it's having a house without having a landscape. Doesn't matter how big the house is. If the landscape is not there, it don't pop.
It don't pop. That's right.
It don't pop. So you always got to dress yourself in the cosmetics that make you pop.
Yes, sir. Amen.
The way you dress, the way you look, the glasses you wear, with the shoe style you wear, all of it got to make you pop as a presentation.
Amen.
You know, so people can see Christ.
That's right. Amen.
Jesus got ready to go to town. He told the guy, say, go get the donkey nobody rode on. You know, he used a different word, but that's what he emphasized, you know, because he wasn't what? He wasn't going to ride something second class.
Right.
He wasn't going to ride something used.
Right.
He wasn't going to do it. Why? Because he's royalty. He's royalty. Even the Bible says, even when he died, that a rich man put him in his tomb.
Right.
Why? Because Jesus was royalty.
Right.
He was royalty. The purple robe that he had on, people gambled over it.
Yeah.
Why? It was expensive. It was expensive. The Bible said it didn't have a seam. It was so valuable that they gambled over his stuff. Why? Jesus was royalty. You are royalty. You're kingdom citizens. And that's why the Bible said wealth and riches will be in the house of the righteous. You're the righteousness of God. You're supposed to have the best of everything. Dad, tell me, I'm trying to preach this to us for years. But the idea is when you walk out of serving, you walk out of these meetings, you go back to thinking like a peasant,
right,
trying to survive,
right,
instead of thrive.
Right.
You know, and we think, well, he that's just apostle. No, apostle trying to train us to think kingdom,
right,
ruling and reigning, occupied till I come.
Right.
That's what he's trying to get us to think like. And so that's what we're impressing when we talk about our mindset of how they look at the church. You know, people come to this ministry on this campus. So when you hit the ground, before you even get on the ground, you realize, whoa,
right,
that's a church.
Right.
And you see the quality of the man of God and how he thinks,
right,
is presented to you. So when you see the water fountain, the fire, you're like, man, nobody has this at the church. It's a church. Why? It just doesn't happen. Why? The thinking is holding, that's a kingdom dimension. Dominion, that's where you got to go. King of dominion. And to be a part of what a word of life, and to be a part of the covenant churches, it realizes you have a kingdom mindset. You have to be transformed to it. You can't get around it without being contagious, because it is contagious. And you will involve into the things of God. Okay, number three is on page 134. Believers with a wealth class view expect much more in their experience with God than salvation. We expect more than just being saved. Why? We expect to live the John 10:10 life, you know, in Luke 6:38 life, the life that's abundant, the life that's pressed down, shaken together, and running over. We expect to see God manifest his glory on our life, that we live the first class life as believers. Okay, so therefore, the gospel that's preached to us has to be a gospel of dominion, of ruling and reigning. It has to be the gospel of abundance. Okay, it has to be in order for us to possess the kingdom lifestyle that Jesus wants us to possess. He wants us with it. And he don't have a problem with it. He wants us with it. Why? Because we represent him. Remember, the wealth mindset is all about representation. You have to represent the kingdom of God. And you can't represent a king with a poverty mindset.
That's right.
You can't represent him like that. Okay? And so that's why we have to transform our thinking in every aspect of our life, not just in our food, but in our attire, our lifestyle, our wealth perspective, our ownership in the earth. It has to be representative of God. It has to be representative of God. And you can start from any place. It's the thing about it. It doesn't matter whether you're 15 or 65. Once you come to revelation, you can change your life.
Amen.
You can change your life. It's never too late to change your life in the kingdom of God. Say, while that is while that is good and they are happy, they are going to heaven, these believers are very aware of what life on earth is supposed to be like. They know that there is more provisions, beauty, power, and joy than they could ever exhaust. So they make sure that they are living in it every day, all day long. Anything less would be ridiculous. And that's what you have to make a demand on heaven. Even when you're approaching God, the Bible says, come before God with boldness, you know. And God said, I'll make a demand on what's right for yours. And I see too that you get it, according to John 15:7. You know, so therefore, you have to understand that you have a legal right because I am a citizen. You said, God, I'm representing you in the earth. Your word says this. I am a tither, I am a sower, I am a giver, I am obedient to your word. Now, for me to live beneath the standard is to misrepresent you. Now, God, you got to do something with this. And watch God do something with it. Because why? You're making a demand on what's rightfully yours. Other words, I'm not selling it anymore to live a peasant lifestyle. So I'm coming to my source and tell my source that you have to supply. I've been obedient, willing and obedient. Isaiah 1:19, I did what you told me to do. I'm willing and obedient. Now, your word says I'm going to eat the good of the land. God, I need you to supply. I need you to meet the need and demand on my life. And when you start making that demand on your life, watch heaven supply. Watch heaven supply. Watch things begin to come to your life from different dimensions of favor and increase and blessing and open doors and open windows hit your life. Supernatural is going to start happening. Why? Because you operate in the law of attraction. You're operating in the law of spirit and life, Romans 8:1-2. You're operating in that dimension. And it's going to produce for your life. It's going to make good in your life. I've been on both sides of the fence, and and this side is better. This side is better. I'm telling you. This side is better. Okay? Number four, he dealt with this. He says destiny. Destiny, how we see destiny. The poor or the poverty believe in faith. Not faith, faith. That means if God wants me to have it, he'll give it to me. This is number four. Number four. He says, destiny. Did that give you number three? Okay. Okay, number four. It says poverty. The poverty or the poor think about destiny. They believe in faith that if God wants me to have it, he'll give it to me. If not, then it's not meant to be. They're powerless to change much. When you deal with a poverty mindset, you live life as it is and not as it was supposed to be or is to be. He said the middle class look at destiny, believes in choice. I can choose if I want that or not. Doesn't mean I can't afford it. The idea is I have a power of choice. So the poverty believes he don't have a choice to change nothing or much. But the middle class believe because I'm a person of wealth, I'm a person who thinks in another dimension, I have the power to change my destiny. Choose whether I want to go there or not. It's a choice to me, not a condition. It's a choice. And you want to put yourself in a place of choice. And we'll go to the wealthy as well. He said, power, he said, the power to change future with good decisions. They believe that the power to change their future is with good decisions. If I make good decisions, I can change my future. As a man thinketh, so is he. Again. Okay? But the wealth mean noblesse oblige. That therefore, they're saying that I have the responsibility, because I am wealthy, I have the responsibility to be generous to those who are less fortunate than me. As a wealthy person, I choose, because I am blessed, to be a blessing to other people. I have the ability to change people's lives. And that's where you want to go. That's where we want to go in the body of Christ, with the ability to affect people's lives. It's one thing to feed a person, but it's another thing to buy my house. It changes his life. It changes his life. You put him in a car, it changes his life. It gives him a job to work on. It changes his life. So we have to be in the position of possessing wealth so we can change people's lives. When people come to the church broke, when people come to the church destitute of life best, and they struggle in life, when we have the wealth, we can change their lives. And who won't want to be a part of that kingdom experience where it changes a person's life? That's what God wants you to be, a person who changed people's life. That's why he wants you to have the wealth. That's why he wants you connected to an apostle, a leader like we have, so we can sow into that vision, sow into that surplus, so when people come to the house, there's meat in God's house. There's meat in God. People shouldn't be coming to church and all that get, God bless you, be filled, be warm, and send people on their way. No, we should be in a position to bless them by the leading of the Spirit to change their destiny. That's the effect of the kingdom of God. It's a demonstration of the power of the kingdom. The love of God is demonstrated in our giving, in our generosity. Okay, number five, he says here, he says that powerlessness is one of the primary effects of poverty. Powerless is one of the primary effects of poverty. When people live in a resource-starved environment, they soon feel that the very real constraint of limitations. When you live in poverty, you live in a place of limitations, and you feel it. When you can't go get things and do things and buy things and experience new things, you can't go on vacations, you can't go visit places and do things. Man, that's limitations on my life. And it's seen through, it is always experienced through poverty. It's experienced through poverty. But you come to the wealthy place and have the wealth possession, it changes that, because at any moment I can do anything I want to do. At any moment I can do anything I want to do. That's the power of wealth. That's the power of you having a wealth mindset. So when you get the wealth, you can do those things. And God wants you to be able to do it. He wants you to be able to do it on an everyday basis. He wants you to live that way. See, the number five. He says, continue with that. He says their lack of options make them feel like victims, that their lives are determined by more powerful external forces. As a result, they live superstitiously, believing that a force they cannot control determines their life. They believe in fate, the ideal that their life is something that happens to them, that their job is to do their best to adapt to what happens. We live like survivalists when you live in a poverty mindset. You just go with the flow. That's all you do. Every day, you just do the same things over and over again because you're powerless to change your situation. But that's a mindset. It's a mindset. Because poverty is not a financial situation. Powerless is a mind situation. It's not a money situation. It's a mindset situation. When you think poverty, you live poverty. When you think small, you live small. It's all in the thinking realm. And that's why your mind has to be transformed. That's why it has to be constantly flooded with positive truths. Positive confession has a part to do with that. You know, and surrounding yourself in an environment of positive people. You can't sit in a place of negativity. People always complaining. People always got a negative outlook on life. People always saying, well, everybody broke. Everybody got trouble. No, everybody's not broken. Everybody don't have troubles. But that's because you live in a community or surrounded yourself with people who think that way and operate that way. You see, some folks never think they can go to Whole Foods. It's too expensive to go in that stuff. You come out with 10 items, that's $50. Well, that's fine. You got the money, go do it. But see, the idea, you don't have a mind to do it and you think that costs too much, then therefore it's a problem to you. But the same $50, you take over to the other store and spend it. But you won't spend it on quality, you spend it on quantity. You see, it's the same principle. It's what you think that you got to transform. You got to transform the way you think. And that's our challenge. You know, that's our challenge, is we got to change the way we think about life, life issues, life conditions, and what God's plan is about our life. Once you're informed and got the truth of it, the purpose of why God put me here and why God wants me to have this wealth, it changes your whole view. It changes your whole view. And you no longer be held in bondage by people's opinion. By people's opinion. That's what Apostle was alluding to again tonight. He's saying that one of the enemies that's going to come against you is family people. over your own house, your own family. They're going to be some of the people come against you because they used to call you Lil John. You know, but now your position and your title has totally changed. You ain't that person no more. Okay? Because of the fact God has brought you to another level. And so they have to see you from that position and not from that little bit of position they used to see you. And because they're not willing to see you, therefore they don't want to be bothered with it. They'd rather criticize you and instead say, teach me how you did what you did. Show me how you're doing what you're doing. So it can help change my life. I see your life and change. They won't do it. Jealous is a beast.
Yes, Lord.
It's a beast. You know, and until we can get over that and celebrate each other in our families, you know, we always have those problems. We always have those problems. Let me go to number six. I'm going to give you number six tonight. Okay. It says destiny, the next paragraph, it says destiny is oppressive to the poor because an external force has all the power and leaves them with no power. The poor are slaves of their lives. And the feeling of powerless naturally creates anxiety, leading the poor to look for comfort by hanging their hopes on a lucky turn of events. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. You know, and so therefore, people are looking. The poor is always looking for someone else to change their luck instead of rising up and informing themselves and empowering themselves to change their own destiny, to change their own destiny, you know. And so Apostle said something tonight that was so powerful. He said that Dr. Leroy Jr. was preaching a message. He heard, and this lady was saying something and was saying about, we ain't got to teach about the presence of God because God is everywhere. But the idea is, even though God is omnipotent and omniscient, the idea is God don't manifest himself everywhere.
Right.
Yes, he see it. Yes, he's around it. He knows about it. He's very informed about it. But he don't manifest himself in every place. You have to understand that. Even though abundance and prosperity and opulence is available everywhere, it don't manifest itself in everybody's life. Why doesn't? When it's limitless. There's so much we can't exhaust all the supply of God. Could you imagine this? When we hear stories like oil is going to run out. Our gas is running low. Oil and gas been here ever since Abraham been here. And it has not run out. Why? Because God fully supplied the earth with abundance that cannot be exhausted. It can't be exhausted. So when you live in a world of fear and figure that stuff is going to run out, it causes you anxiety. It causes you to panic. And that's a poor mindset. That's why the rich go and eat a $50 burger and only eat half of it and don't get a doggy bag and take the other half home. Why? Because they said, it don't run out. There's still some more cows coming. Why? Because the law of reproduction. It's a law of seed time and harvest. They know it's going to reproduce itself again. They know that. And so we got to get the mindset, even though I've gone through the poverty mindset, the idea is you got to get the place where that God has abundantly supplied the earth, the money will never run out. It will never run out. I don't care the richest people ever die on the planet. They never take the money with them.
Right.
The money always here. You see, right, it's always circling, it's always moving. But the idea is you got to put yourself in position where the flow is flowing. That's all it is. You got to put yourself in position where the flow is flowing. And that's why in all of us, there's a creative genius on the inside of us. If we ever tap into what we was birthed with and what God gave Adam, that Adam was able to name all the animals on the planet.
Right.
Where you got that genius from?
Right.
God put it in him.
Right.
It's in you.
Right.
It's in you. You don't have to stay there. Because the moment you begin to apply the law of attraction To think on a different manner, it begins to cause your brain and your energy to begin to think beyond normal. It begins to think beyond normal. Because see, have you ever thought about this? Have you ever forgot somebody's name? You got a picture in their face but can't figure their name out. And you go, man, I can't figure the person. I can't think about it. And you go by 2 hours later, and also it shows up. Know why? You gave the mind a job, and the mind don't quit until they get the answer. And so even while you're washing dishes, washing a car, doing your job, doing something, and all of a sudden it pops up. Why? The brain just pulled the file out and said, see, this is what you were looking for. Because it never stopped working. It's the creative genius on the inside of us. And God has given all of us a creative genius that when you start thinking about, God, how can I make wealth? God, how can I create wealth? God, how can this work? And your mind say, okay, I see what you're thinking now. It going to start pulling ideas. It start pulling ideas. It start putting you on a television show of people living in wealth life. It start showing you people around wealth. Why? He said, you've been asking me this question. I gave you the answer. I'm showing you how to create wealth. Deuteronomy 8:17, God said, I give you power to get wealth. I cause you to get the power to get to. It's anybody establish my covenant. He said, I am causing you with a creative genius to give you ideas and put you in position because you now ask the magic question I've been trying to get you to answer all the time. God, how do I create wealth? Now John 10:10 can become a reality in my life. I can now have life and have it more abundant because why? I start thinking about abundance. If you don't think about abundance, if you don't think about increase, you don't think about wealth, it won't show up. As a man thinketh, so is he. It brings us back to that same revelation. And that's why the poverty live with a hopeless lifestyle and feel like God is against them and God is keeping me where I am and God don't want me to have. God's created me to be poor. And so they sell it out because they think that's what God, that's God. It's not God. It's the idea is it's the satanic forces in the earth, number one, who don't want you to know the truth about it. He want to keep you there so you can always blame God for not having. And thinking God is the God of poverty and not the God of abundance. He wants you to think that way. The second thing is your environment has to shift. You have to change the people around you. And a lot of times people don't want to do that. First thing God, we talked about earlier, one of the things God did with Abraham was told Abraham what? Leave your house. Leave your family. Got to get away from your surroundings because they don't think kingdom. They think earthly. You got to get around folks who think the way I want you to think. I want you to see something you hadn't seen before and experience something you never experienced before. I want to get you to that place. I can't do that when you're wrong for familiarity. See, it's a place you got to get sick and tired of being broke. And say, God, what is your system? What is your plan for me to have financial prosperity? Because God wants me to have it. I got too many scriptures, got too much evidence. If Job can have it, if Isaac can have it, Abraham can have it, Adam can have it. I can have it. Pastor can have it. I can have it. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's not limited to evangelists and apostles and prophets. It's for the body of Christ. That's why God gave him the word, money cometh. Then get to the body of Christ. It's not just to the fivefold giftings. And you got to know that God wants to put millions of dollars in your hand to get the gospel out. And at the same time, yeah, he wants you to have it. He wants you to have it. You know, I use the example all the time about my life is even if the water hose, even though it's a conduit for water to come through to wet whatever it's going to wet the ground, wash the car, whatever it does, to bathe you, whatever, to get you wet, the hose pipe still get wet. See, God wants to use it as a conduit to be a blessing to other people. At the same time, he waters you. He waters you at the same time. So you don't have to worry about if God going to cause my life to be a blessing. The first person he had to bless is me. You can't give away something you don't possess. So the first thing to Abraham, I'm going to make you a blessing so you can be a blessing. That's the key. God wants me blessed. And you got to get that in your mindset, but you got to start thinking that there's no limits. I can have the best of everything. I can live in the best of everything. I can wear the best of things because it's the culture of the kingdom. It's the culture of the kingdom. God wants everybody blessed. No lack, no limitations, that we can do everything God tells us we can do. And I can quit because I was told to quit. Okay. God bless you guys. Love you guys. We'll see you next week. Okay. Okay. Yeah, on 20. Amen.